for surgery, I thought, where do we go from here? Where would be a good place for us to go? And so I was led to Psalm 8. And I was led there because of some phone calls and things that I had been dealing with folks the week before my surgery. But also just a reminder for myself, just a reminder of how important that each of us are to God. And so this psalm, Psalm 8, answers some questions. It answers the questions, who are we? And what does it mean to be a human being? Am I really important? Do I really matter to God? And so as we go through that and we look at this question that's asked in Psalm 8 by the writer, we look and we see the immensity, number one, and the just vast nature of the creation that God has, but also where we fit in to that. Psalm 8, I think I have that in there for you. Yep, I do. Good. Okay. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under their feet, all the flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. In these nine verses, we see from the writer an understanding of what he is answering, how he is answering whether or not we really matter. It begins this psalm by observing the majesty of God. It says in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Now, I think these two verses, they talk about the majesty and the glory of God. I see the power that God has in these two verses. But I also see power through weakness. How many of you have relied upon children and babies to build something important in your life? Most of us don't do that, right? But God, in his creation, used the mouths of babies and infants to establish his strength. In Matthew chapter 21, there is a story of Jesus as he entered Jerusalem with the crowds, and they were shouting. You know them, right? We celebrate on Palm Sunday. What were they shouting? Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It seems that if you read that text carefully, that the children there that day thought this was great. And so they did not stop shouting. As you read through that chapter, as you read through that recollection of those events, the kids just sort of do what kids do once they get stuck on something, right? They just kept hollering and shouting and hooray, hooray, Hosanna, Hosanna, and keep repeating this verse that they now understood. And so they didn't stop shouting when the adults did. When the Pharisees stopped shouting, they didn't stop. They just went right on following Jesus wherever he went, and they continued to shout it out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Jesus, the story says, goes into the temple. He clears out the money changers, and he comes back out, and there again the children are shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The blind, the story continues, the blind and the lame came to Jesus to be healed, and the children continued, the story says, to shout out, Hosanna in the highest. Finally, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, had had enough of these kids shouting. Some of us may have been in that situation every once in a while during a youth event or a children's story, right? And they say to Jesus, Jesus in Matthew 21, verse 16, they say, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, and he quotes Psalm 8, verse 2. He says, "Yes, have you never read that out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise?" Psalm 8, 2 is about who? The question that we are asked in Psalm 8, 2 is, who is it about? It's about the majesty of God being proclaimed by children, as we see in Matthew, in this chapter, being fulfilled with Jesus. Who are the children shouting about when they say, "Hosanna to the Son of David"? "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Well, they, of course, are talking about Jesus. That's the purpose of the story. And so thus, when Jesus quotes Psalm 8:2 at that moment to those religious leaders, to the Pharisees, he is saying that he is the majestic Lord, worthy of all praise. And that they, the religious leaders, are the enemies of God. Psalm 8 continues in verses 3 and 4. It says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Now, many people have interpreted this passage as talking about Jesus, mainly because Jesus often called himself the Son of Man, right? You've heard him call himself the Son of Man. I don't think that's the correct way to read this passage because of what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says, "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." So why would Jesus put himself lower than that creation? Jesus is not a little lower than the heavenly beings, which causes me to read verses 3 and 4 as the psalmist, the person writing this psalm, talking about himself. He is asking the question, "God, why do you care about me? In all of your majesty, who am I to you? What is man that you are mindful of him?" I think this is an important question for today. A very important question for today. And this actually may be the most important question for today. What is man? Our world would say that a man, a human being, a woman, a man, whatever, is just a bit of cosmic dust, right? Just a bit of cosmic dust. It turned into a biological soup at one point or another, right? And it evolved into a really fancy monkey. Do you believe that? No. No more, no less. I think the consequences of men and women seeing themselves and others as just another type of animal on this planet is that is often how people behave and treat each other as beasts, right? What is man that you are mindful of him, the psalmist writes. Who do you say I am, God? You see, due to our modern ability, we use telescopes. And again, I shared with you a few weeks ago that I've been fascinated with space. We found a new space show for me to watch yesterday on National Geographic. Greta found it, so you can blame her. But due to our modern ability to use telescopes and send people into space, how much more should we be in awe of God's creation than what the psalmist even knew when he wrote this thousands of years ago? You see, our planet, Earth, it sits in a little corner far away in a galaxy. A galaxy that has over 100 billion stars, much more significant than our own. Most of them are bigger than our planet. And through the Hubble telescope, it is said that another 350 billion, with a B, other galaxies like our own have been identified. I can't even begin to comprehend the size of the galaxy. I can't even comprehend the size of our own universe that the Earth is in with its 8 or 9 planets, whether you count Pluto or you don't, I don't know. But it's so hard for me to understand that size. And so, like the psalmist, I ask the question. When I stand in the backyard of the parsonage and I look up to the sky, and to see the work of his fingers with all of the stars and the moon that he set into place, each particular one exactly where he wanted it to be. And I ask him, for what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him. Do I really matter? If I had the, like, there are a lot of tracks out here on the door right outside of the church, the church foyer, and if I had a tract that I would like to make of my own, it would be to answer that question, because everyone who comes into my office or calls me at home or at whatever, at some point, they're struggling. Their base struggle is, do I really matter? Why does God care about me? How do I know that God cares about me? And verse 5 provides the answer to that question. It says, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You know, when I read verse 5, I'm reminded of how often Bible translators are often cowards, afraid of how radical God's word is. I sort of envision the looks that I get at the trustees and deacons meetings sometimes when I come up with some of these different ideas that God puts on my heart and mind, and I bring it to them and they just look at me like I've lost my mind. God's word is radical. There's great things in this Bible that you and I get to read and rely upon. The phrase heavenly beings is not what Hebrew reads, nor does it say angels as other translations suggest. The Hebrew word used here is Elohim. Elohim. You've heard that word before. Because Elohim is the plural word for God. Thus, gods. It is the same word that is used for God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, which reads this way. It says, then God, Elohim, said, let us, did you catch that? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God, Elohim, created man in his own image. In the image of God, Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created him. So the question, what is man, is answered, I think, by looking back to the creation when man and woman are made in the image of God. Being made in the image of God is our crown and our glory. Being the image of God is who we are. It makes us unique and different from all of the other parts of creation. There is something more to us that is not of this world. Something that is more than just the flesh and the blood and the shoulders that they repair and the hips and everything else that we do and the heart transplants and all these pieces that we can fix, right? It's more than that. We're made in the image of God. We have the capacity to go out into the world and shed light. We have the capacity to think and to empathize and to be in relationship with each other and with God. We have that power. You know, we are made to know God. We are made to live in relationship with Him. And we are made, this is important for you to hear today, we are made to live with Him forever. Your soul was made to live with God forever. Not just so you can have a few years here on earth, however many that may be, or maybe minutes. You know, some folks, unfortunately, babies die at birth. Some babies die before they're even born, out of the womb of the mother. But the fact of the matter is that we were made to live in relationship with God, and that relationship is to last forever. And being His image bearer, we have a responsibility in this creation that no other creature has been given, as read in verses 6 through 8. And you can read this again. It says, you are given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All the sheep and the ox, all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. A beautiful, beautiful understanding of what our relationship should be to creation. But sin has caused us to understand the word dominion to mean the right to exploit. And that is sin speak. That is the conquering nature of humanity following the fall in the Garden of Eden. Being the image bearer of God in this world, the word dominion means the reasonability of care. We are to care for this world. Not to worship it. Not to exploit it. But to care for it. And so, you know, when I say that, folks say, why? For what reasons? Why should we care about what happens to our other human beings or to other animals or to the earth itself? And you're just one of the, I can assure you that I'm not one of those environmental crazy people, okay? But I believe that we have a responsibility to care for God's creation. All of it. Human beings, animals, the earth, all of it. We have a responsibility. For the glory of the Lord, as voiced in verse 9, the very last verse, tells us why we have that responsibility. Because our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You see, you, who are made in the image of God, thus in all of creation, you are unique. You are unique. God cares about you. There's no such thing as a person who is too small or too insignificant to God. He cares about you. Also, being made in the image of God means that you have been given responsibility, some responsibility to care for God's creation in this world so that God is glorified. As we prepare to partake of communion, as we prepare ourselves to remind ourselves of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as he did with his disciples, you need to understand and remember that you do matter, that you are important to God. As we have our hymn of invitation, if you have and would like to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come forward. If you are doing it online, if you want to pray a prayer of salvation, if you want to understand what this value that God has for you and allow Jesus to walk beside you, to carry you through the turmoil of your life, then pray and let God know that you acknowledge that you are a sinner. Dear God, please come into my life. God, I acknowledge that Jesus Christ lived here on the earth, that he died on the cross, that he rose again on the third day, and he lives today. And God, I want to have a relationship with you. I want my eternity to be with you. I want my creation, my being, to be important and to be relied upon by you. And God, we ask this in your name. Prayed that prayer with me and you're online or you receive this later, let me know so that we can walk alongside you, because once you make that commitment, you put a target on your back, because the devil doesn't want you to get closer to God. He wants you to walk farther away. He wants to do everything he can to interfere with that relationship. Everything that you are facing, Christ took care of on the old rugged cross, as we have our invitation hymn and prepare for it.